Chapter 7. The torch ships Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar are a full AU beyond the burning orbital forests and still decelerating around the unnamed sun when Mother Commander Stone buzzes at Father Captain DeSoya's compartment portal to inform him that the couriers have been resurrected. Actually, only one was successfully resurrected, she amends, floating at the opened iris door. Father Captain DeSoya winces. Has the unsuccessful one been returned to the resurrection creche? He asks. Not yet, says Stone. Father Sapia is with the survivor. DeSoya nods. Pax? He asks, hoping that this will be the case. Vatican couriers bring more problems than military ones. Mother Commander Stone shakes her head. Both are Vatican. Father Goronsky and Father Van Dries, both are legionaries of Christ. DeSoya avoids a sigh only by an effort of will. Legionaries of Christ had all but replaced the more liberal Jesuits over the centuries. Their power had been growing in the church a century before the big mistake, and it was no secret that the Pope used them as shock troops for difficult missions within the church hierarchy. Which one survived? He asks. Father Van Dries. Stone glances at her comm log. He should be revived by now, sir. Very well, says DeSoya. Adjust the internal field to 1G at 0645. Pipe Captain Hearns and Boulez aboard and give them my compliments. Please escort them to the forward meeting room. I'll be in with Van Dries until we convene. Aye, aye, says Mother Commander Stone, and kicks off. The revival room outside the resurrection creche is more chapel than infirmary. Father Captain DeSoya genuflects toward the altar and then joins Father Sapia by the gurney, where the courier is sitting up. Sapia is older than most Pax crew, at least 70 standard, and the soft halogen beams reflect from his bald scalp. DeSoya has always found the ship's chaplain short-tempered and not very bright, much like several of the parish priests he had known as a boy. Captain, acknowledges the chaplain. DeSoya nods and steps closer to the man on the gurney. Father Van Dries is young, perhaps in his late 20s standard, and his dark hair is long and curled in the current Vatican fashion, or at least in the fashion that had been coming in when DeSoya had last seen Pacem and the Vatican. A time debt of 3 years had already accrued in the 2 months they had been on this mission. Father Van Dries, says DeSoya. Can you hear me? The young man on the cot nods and grunts. Language is hard for the first few minutes after resurrection, or so DeSoya has heard. Well, says the chaplain, I'd better get the other's body back in the creche. He frowns at DeSoya as though the captain had personally brought about the unsuccessful resurrection. It is a waste, Father Captain. It will be weeks, perhaps months, before Father Goronsky can be successfully revived. It will be very painful for him. DeSoya nods. Would you like to see him, Father Captain? Persists the chaplain. The body is, well, barely recognizable as human. The internal organs are quite visible and quite... Go about your duties, Father, DeSoya says quietly. Dismissed. Father Sapia frowns again as if he is going to reply, but at that moment the gravity klaxon sounds, and both men have to orient themselves so that their feet touch the floor as the internal containment field realigns itself. Then the gravity slowly climbs to 1G as Father Van Dries sinks back into the gurney's cushions, and the chaplain shuffles out the door. Even after only a day of 0G, the return of gravity seems an imposition. Father Van Dries, DeSoya says softly, can you hear me? The young man nods. His eyes show the pain he is in. The man's skin glistens as if he has just received grafts, or as if he is newborn. The flesh looks pink and raw to DeSoya, almost burned, and the cruciform on the courier's chest is livid and twice normal size. "Do you know where you are?" whispers DeSoya. "Or who you are," he mentally adds. Post-resurrection confusion can last for hours or days. DeSoya knows that couriers are trained to overcome that confusion, but how can anyone be trained for death and revival? An instructor of DeSoya's at the seminary had once put it plainly. The cells remember dying, being dead, even if the mind does not.
"I remember," whispers Father Van Dries, and his voice sounds as raw as his skin looks. "You are Captain DeSoya?"
"Father Captain DeSoya, yes." Van Dries tries to lever himself up on his elbow and fails.
"Closer," he whispers,
too weak to lift his head from the pillow. DeSoya leans closer. The other priest smells faintly of formaldehyde. Only certain members of the priesthood are trained in the actual mysteries of resurrection, and DeSoya had chosen not to be one of these. He could officiate at a baptism and administer communion or extreme unction. As a starship captain, he has had more opportunities for the latter than the former. But he had never been present at the sacrament of resurrection. He has no idea of the processes involved beyond the miracle of the cruciform. In returning this man's destroyed and compressed body, his decaying neurons and scattered brain mass, to the human form he now sees before him. Van Dries begins whispering, and DeSoya has to lean even closer, the resurrected priest's lips almost brushing DeSoya's ear.
"Must talk,"
Van Dries manages with great effort. DeSoya nods. "I've scheduled a briefing in 15 minutes. My other two ship captains will be there. We'll provide a hover chair for you and—" Van Dries is shaking his head.
"No meeting. Message for you only."
DeSoya shows no expression. "All right. Do you want to wait until you're—" Again the agonized shake of his head. The skin of the priest's face is slick and striated, as if the muscle were showing through.
"No,"
he whispers. DeSoya leans close and waits.
"You are to take the Archangel Courier ship immediately,"
gasps Van Dries.
"It is programmed for its destination."
DeSoya remains expressionless, but he is thinking. "So it is to be a painful death by acceleration. Dear Jesus, could you not let this cup pass from me?" "What do I tell the others?" he asks. Father Van Dries shakes his head.
"Tell them nothing. Put your executive officer in command of the Balthazar. Transfer task force command to Mother Captain Boulez. Task force Magi will have other orders."
"Will I be informed of these other orders?" asks DeSoya. His jaw hurts with the tension of sounding calm. Until 30 seconds ago, the survival and success of this ship, this task force, had been the central reason for his existence.
"No," says Van Dries. "These orders do not concern you."
The resurrected priest is pale with pain and exhaustion. DeSoya realizes that he is taking some satisfaction in that fact and immediately says a short prayer for forgiveness. "I am to leave immediately," repeats DeSoya. "Can I take my few personal possessions?" He is thinking of the small porcelain sculpture that his sister had given him shortly before her death on Renaissance Vector. That fragile piece, locked in a stasis cube during HG maneuvers,
has been with him for all of his years of spacefaring.
No, says Father Van Dries. Go immediately. Take nothing.
This is upon order of... queries De Soia. Van Dries frowns through his grimace of pain.
This is upon direct command of His Holiness, Pope Julius XIV, says the courier. It is Omega priority, superseding all orders of Pax Military Command or Spa Com Sea Fleet. Do you understand, Father, Captain, De Soia?
I understand, says the Jesuit, and bows his head in compliance. The Archangel-class courier ship has no name. De Soia has never considered tort ships beautiful. Gourd-shaped, the command and weapons mod dwarfed by the huge Hawking drive and in-system fusion thrust sphere. But the Archangel is actively ugly in comparison. The courier ship is a mass of asymmetrical spheres, dodecahedrons, lash-ons, structural cables, and Hawking drive mounts, with the passenger cabin the merest of afterthoughts in the center of all that junk. De Soia had met briefly with Hearn, Boulez, and Stone, explained only that he had been called away and transferred command to the new and amazed task force and Balthazar captains, then took a one-person transfer pod to the Archangel. De Soia tried not to look back at his beloved Balthazar, but at the last moment before attaching to the courier, he turned and looked longingly at the torch ship, sunlight painting its curved flank into a crescent-like sunrise over some lovely world, then turned resolutely away. He sees upon entering that the Archangel has only the crudest virtual tactical command, manual controls, and bridge. The interior of the command pod is not much larger than De Soia's crowded cubby on the Balthazar, although this space is crowded with cables, fiber-optic leads, tech disc keys, and two acceleration couches. The only other space is the tiny navigation room-cum-wardrobe cubby. No, De Soia sees at once. The acceleration couches are not standard. These are unpadded steel trays in human form, more like autopsy slabs than couches. The trays have a lip, to keep fluid from sloshing under high G, he is sure, and he realizes that the only compensating containment field in the ship would be around these couches, to keep the pulverized flesh, bone, and brain matter from floating away in the zero-G intervals after final deceleration. De Soia can see the nozzles where water or some cleansing solution had been injected at high speed to clean the steel. It had not been totally successful.
Acceleration in 2 minutes, says a metallic voice. Strap in now.
No niceties, thinks De Soia. Not even a please. Ship, he says. He knows that no true AIs are allowed on Pax ships. Indeed, no AIs are allowed anywhere in Pax-controlled human space. But he thinks that the Vatican might have made an exception on one of its Archangel-class courier ships.
1:30 until initial acceleration,
comes the metallic voice. And De Soia realizes that he is talking to an idiot machine. He hurries to strap himself in. The bands are broad, thick, and almost surely for show. The containment field will hold him, or his remains, in place.
30 seconds, says the idiot voice. Be advised that the C-plus translation will be lethal.
Thanks, says Father Captain Federico De Soia. His heart is pounding so fiercely that he can hear it in his ears. Lights flicker in the various instruments. Nothing here is meant for human override, so De Soia ignores them.
15 seconds, says the ship. You might wish to pray now.
Fuck you,
says De Soya. He has been praying since he left the courier's recovery room. Now he adds a final prayer for forgiveness for the obscenity.
5 seconds, comes the voice. There will be no further communications. May God bless you and speed your resurrection, in Christ's name.
Amen, says Father Captain De Soya. He closes his eyes as acceleration commences.